Willie Mays, Jackie Robinson, Bessie Smith, the Empress of the Blues, Dr. Martin Luther King and his wife Coretta, Samuel L. Jackson, Dr. Emma Wheeler, and pro football player Reggie White. They all have one thing in common, and that's their connection with the Tennessee town of Chattanooga. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a discovery of the history and story of Chattanooga's African-American cultural experience and history with Dionne Jennings, president of the Bessie Smith Cultural Center.
I'm Dionne Jennings, president of the Bessie Smith Cultural Center.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee, yes, right. 200 East M.L. King Boulevard.
Well, I'm a little bit familiar with Chattanooga and its history, and having grown up in San Francisco Bay Area with Willie Mays,
yes.
I go, oh my gosh, connection here. And as I walked in your front door, first thing I see is baseball.
Yes.
So talk story about the black experience of baseball in Chattanooga.
Right.
This is really powerful stuff.
Yes. So we are doing an exhibit, Negro League Baseball in Chattanooga, focusing on the players that played here in the Chattanooga area. There were several different teams, and we've been very fortunate that three of the Negro League players are still in the area and have been out to visit the museum since this exhibit has opened. Yes. And two of them are actually going out with me to our Youth and Family Development Centers, which most people call rec centers, mm-hmm. and they'll be talking with the young kids about Negro League baseball, so we're really looking forward to that opportunity.
It's one thing to have a museum, a little static place.
Yes.
But if you don't bring the kids in, then
certainly.
It doesn't. Yeah, so talk about that, how you
yes.
reach out and how they come here on field
exactly.
trips.
Last year, we had a really great opportunity in the summer that the rec centers were able to bring students in one day a week, and unfortunately, through funding, they aren't able to do that. So we're bringing the museum to the centers. So we're very excited about the opportunity to have these Negro League players go out with us. And we also we're in talks with a Harlem Globetrotter who is just checking his schedule to see what day he can come out and do that. But we're really looking forward to that opportunity and taking it outside of this building and inside of their building.
So you had two leagues here in town. You had the Choo-Choos?
We had the Choo-Choos. We had the A's. We also had the Stars and the Astros, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yes, yeah.
Let's go over and take a look at
sure.
some of the stuff you have.
If you look at this photo, Ingalls Stadium is where most of these players played, actually in Lincoln Park. And so here you can see this is Ingalls Stadium. And what I like most about this photo, and it shows you the small area where the Negro attendees were able to sit and the entrance that they used. And then here's the major field. And then up here is where the smaller Lincoln Park baseball field is. And that's where the Negro League players played. So you're looking at just a few blocks away. Yes,
yeah.
yes. So it's very interesting to look at this photo and to see, wow, you had this major park, but they had such a small section where they were able to sit and enjoy. But talking with the players, it's an experience for them that they would never give up. They said it was really an opportunity. We had one player who was playing. He was just in high school playing with these adults. And he said that his parents allowed him to travel with the players because they knew one of the men on the team, and they trusted him with him. And then when the parents were able to, they traveled with him as well. So it was really a very community-oriented organization, and they really stood by one another, and the community came out and supported them. It was a really important time.
As I remember, Willie Mays grew up here, and he played for the Chattanooga Choo-Choos.
He did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Let's talk a little bit more about that whole era, and it went away eventually, right?
It did. Yes, it did. The league was able to integrate some of the teams, which is really important, too, being able to play mainstream, which is an important time for those players,
yeah,
certainly.
Okay. Around mm-hmm. the corner, you have a whole focus on the Jackie Robinson story.
Yes.
And that's a great metaphor for what happened here, isn't
exactly.
it?
And Jackie Robinson played here at Ingalls Stadium. Mm-hmm. They did the movie 42 here about him. Most people don't know that Jackie Robinson had an opportunity to play here in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he did. He was a very instrumental part of Negro League Baseball, of course.
How cool. Well, let's move on. At the Bessie Smith Cultural Center, it is way more than baseball. It's
yes,
only because some of us have a bias.
Yes, so this Negro League Baseball exhibit, it's a traveling exhibit that will be here just for a few months. We just have it up for one quarter, but we felt it was important to share that story. Mm-hmm. And so this will only be here for a very short time, and we were able to partner with some other agencies to bring this to Chattanooga. So we're excited about that. But the Chattanooga African American Museum is all about celebrating and highlighting the lives of local African Americans and the contributions that they made, not only to our community, but to the world. So we have an African collection here. It's a great collection of African artifacts here in the museum because it's important to tie that in.
And this is, again, for the kids. This is wonderful to show them roots and even genealogical. I see around the corner you have a map.
We shows, do, for the slavery and even those slave chains that we have there, the shackles, mm-hmm. we're able to take it out of the cases and let the children hold them mm-hmm. and see just how heavy it is
right.
and what they had to wear, not only around mm-hmm. their neck, but around their hands and their ankles. And it really makes an impactful statement to those students when they think, well, why didn't they just run away?
Yeah,
well, why did they do this? And so we're able to kind of share that story, and we'll just feel the weight of this alone.
Yeah, I bet it's a powerful moment for these kids.
Yes.
Because a lot of them grew up semi-clueless to their roots. Yeah.
Exactly. They really do. And so to be able to share with them, and some of these artifacts, you have naked statues, and of course kids want to giggle, but you have to kind of talk to them about that's how they look in Africa. This is what they wear.
Yes.
Exactly. And so it kind of brings it all to light, mm-hmm. which is really good for the kids.
And then in the museum, you move on to the historical ephemera from the city back to the Civil War.
Yes, yes. So actually, we just did a partnership with the National Park Service talking about the Civil War and how the slaves came out of slavery. And how they fought. The land that they worked for then became the land that they fought for. And then how it transferred into the civil rights movement and all of that. So that was a really powerful piece for students. And we had groups that came in. And to see that connection with the students and to have that aha moment with them.
And post-Civil War in the community of Chattanooga, I think on Lookout Mountain, you had a whole black community, right?
Yes, we did.
With businesses.
Yes, we did. Yes.
And it's really palpable. And right in front of you is this beautiful woman in very fancy clothes. Mm-hmm. And so she must have been like a merchant's daughter or something?
Most likely,
yeah.
Yes, yes. There was a very large black population on Lookout Mountain, which I think many people don't know about and did not know that there were so many African Americans on the mountain. Yeah.
And so as we move forward in time,
to the exhibit where we talk about athletes that played here in Chattanooga. And when you talk about the kids and bringing them in, we have a picture there of Venus Lacey, who graduated from Brainerd High School right here in Chattanooga. She played in the WNBA and in the Olympics. And her niece came in here. She was about 8 years old. This was last summer. And she comes around the wall and looks and says, "Why is my aunt on your wall?" And I said, "Well, remember we talked about great Chattanoogans that made a contribution to the world. Well, your Aunt Venus is one of those Chattanoogans." And it was the pride on her face, and to see her with all of her classmates looking like this. So when you have students who can look on the walls of this museum and make that personal connection and understand why it's important. So now she sees, well, if Aunt Venus made it to the wall, what can I do? How can I get on your wall?
So real empowering experience.
Very. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So Reggie White was from Chattanooga, football player. Yes, he came from right out of Chattanooga. So it's really important to us to make sure that we share the stories of people who came from such a small town and not knowing the impact that they would make on the world. Because when you come from a small city, you really don't know how you can go out and make your impact on the world. And that's important to us. For me as a mom, to be able to share that with my children and with their friends and children throughout this community, because they say, if you don't know your past, you're bound to repeat it.
Yep.
And so if the kids know not only the bad side, but the good too, So we really want them to see, wow, they came from the same neighborhood that I came from, and look what they've contributed. That's important to us.
And I think some of the personalities from Chattanooga back in the day, 100% segregated, and yet rose above. The military wall is very touching. You have the female physicians.
Yes.
And let's go look at that for a moment.
Sure,
that's
incredible. Yeah.
But we need to stop off for a minute in performing arts before we get
there. Yes. So Samuel L. Jackson from right here in Chattanooga.
Wow.
You can see him
Does he ever come back and visit?
We have not seen him here at the Bessie, but he does come back to Chattanooga quite often.
I think you need a special invite.
Yeah, I do. I do. I personally don't have a connection to him, but I am working on that because
be
we
awesome.
Would love to have him certainly come out into the museum. But we have Russell Good, who was from right here in our community, who was Coretta Scott King's personal accompanist.
Wow.
So many don't know that Coretta had such a beautiful voice and that she was a singer, and Russell Good was traveled with her. Bessie Smith, our own, our namesake for the museum, Empress of Blues, played right here on, which was the former 9th Street, now Martin Luther King Boulevard.
And she was a local girl?
She was a local girl, grew up about six blocks away in a little area called Blue Goose Hollow.
Wow.
Yes, but she and her brother made a name for themselves right here on 9th Street. Back then they called it the Big Nine, now MLK. But Bessie really was a pioneer and a trailblazer. And I always tell the kids she was the Beyonce of her day.
No kidding.
Highest paid entertainer of her time.
And still a legend.
And still a legend, yes. Yeah. The movie just got 16 Emmys.
Wow.
So that says a lot. I mean, Queen Latifah did a very good job of capturing Bessie's life and making her relevant again. Yeah. And we're really excited about that here in Chattanooga.
You know what? I want to hog you all afternoon, but I know you've got to prepare.
Yeah, but I would like, this section here is our church section, and we just revamped it. There's a church that's about three blocks away, and it's First Baptist Church. They are celebrating their 150th anniversary, the oldest church here in our community. So you can see all the pastors that preached at their church. But the one little known fact that most people don't know is Dr. King applied for the position as pastor of their church, and they didn't think he was ready. But if you look at God and you think about what God does, it was because there was a different calling his life.
Yeah.
And had he stayed here in Chattanooga, there possibly would not have been the great Dr. Martin Luther King that we all know him as.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we're giving tours between the Bessie and First Baptist throughout the months of June and July so people can learn about the history of the oldest black church in Chattanooga.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, let's move on to the military aspect. That's really fascinating. And the female physician that I saw.
Emma Wheeler.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. She's right here. She opened the first black hospital here in Chattanooga, which was just about a block away.
Even the black experience aside, just female.
Yes.
You're going, wow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow, what a powerful personality.
Certainly. Certainly.
Tell us a little bit about her.
So Emma Wheeler grew up right here in Chattanooga, and it was the hospital that she had, of course, was the only hospital where African Americans would be seen during that time.
Because they were not allowed in
white. The other hospitals, correct. Which is part of what happened to Bessie Smith in her life and why she died at such a young age. The story is unclear, but it was either because she was not accepted at the white hospital, or they did not want to take her there. But eventually she ended up bleeding to death because she was not right. She did not get the treatment that she needed.
Yep. And then let's move forward into, again, like I said, the military. That's fascinating. World War One and World War Two, local people. This is fascinating. Dr. Grace Huell, and she's a military doctor. That's really cool.
Certainly.
And then these guys down here, they're World War
I. World War I soldiers, correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then here is a World War II physician, Dr. Taylor. How cool.
It really is. Yeah. And we really want people to just come in and learn about the history of Chattanooga. And there's so much here that we can offer.
Well, you know what? I hate to do this, but I got to let you go. But this has been so great.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we ask anybody to come out and take a look and learn. We try to change up our temporary exhibits every quarter. Dion Jennings, president of the Bessie Smith Cultural Center, please go to our website at bessiesmithcc.org.
Dion, thank you.
Thank you.
You made my day.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming out. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
Okay.
All right.
The Underbed intro music, I'm Going to a City, was performed by the Indian Bottom Association of Old Regular Baptists on the Smithsonian Folkways album, Classic Southern Gospel. The outro music, Downhearted Blues, was performed by Bessie Smith.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.